Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Your first day at school, walking down the aisle at your wedding, or winning gold at sports day. Memories of our lives are firmly etched into our minds, but someone else's recollection of the same event can be very different. So just how reliable is our memory? Well, to talk more about this, I'm joined in the studio by GP and mental health specialist Dr. Harry Barry, and from our Limerick studio by Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology at the University of Limerick. Good to have you both with us again on the programme. So Anne-Marie, we have spoken to yourself and Harry about memories in the past, but will you just remind us briefly, if you can, the different types of memories and their function?
Yeah, so I won't go through every single kind, even though I'm tempted, right? But some types are procedural memories. So your memory for the performance of skills like riding a bike, and also your perceptual memory. So your ability to recognize faces, voices, what different foods taste like. And those kind of memories, they're not effortful, right? Because we don't need to think hard about how to ride a bike once we've learned and we know what food tastes like. We don't need to think about that once we've tried it, right? So those kind of memories, skills, they're maintained quite well across the lifespan. But some of the other types of memory that decline a little bit include working memory. So your ability to work with different kinds of information, like remember a phone number just long enough to call it. And also your memory for details and maybe for aspects of particular experiences that we call your episodic memory.
Okay.
So those pieces do decline.
So the episodic memory, Harry, that's the one that we're really focused on,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, that's the one I'm very interested in. I've always been very interested in. So an episodic memory is where we take all the contextual details of, suppose we're down on the beach. I love examples. This is in real life. So we're down on the beach and we're remembering it. So now we remember the feel of the sand, the sound of the waves, the colours in the sky, the ice cream cone, all the lovely things that we associate with it. So what happens every day, this is really interesting, every solitary day all this information is flowing into an organ called the hippocampus, the key player in memory. And what this box in our brain does, and one on both sides, is it kind of holds that information short term, and then when we go to sleep, it kind of distributes it right around the brain. So in other words, the sound will go to the sound part of the brain, to the sight part of the brain. But this is the fascinating part. It's like a QR code. You shine a light on your menu, boom, and suddenly you're all is there. So now you want to recall all this. So what actually happens is, it's literally the second you focus on it, it's like a beam going in on a little tiny bit of the hippocampus and boom, it comes out into your conscious mind. And suddenly you remember all the details and the amygdala provides all the emotions. So, that's our contextual memories. That's really what episodic reading memories are really all about.
Okay. But what we really want to find out, though, is, whether those memories change depending on who we are and how we feel, and how important memory is, Anne-Marie, when it comes to our identity, who we are.
Yeah. So those kind of memories Harry describes are really core to our sense of who we are, because having these experiences and recalling them, it allows us to have a narrative of our life story. And this explains to us who we are. So maybe we were someone who really enjoyed spending a lot of time on the beach in childhood, or maybe we didn't, okay? And we learned something about ourselves from that. So these experiences give us a sense of who we are, but they also allow us to update our sense of who we are as we meet new experiences. So you might, for example, not have enjoyed wet, cold days on a beach maybe in October, but maybe you went traveling as an adult and you really found you enjoyed that. So your new sense of identity and who you are is someone who really enjoys that part of life and that experience and traveling to new places. So those kind of experiences and episodes in your life help create that story and also help you update your story over time.
Mm-hmm. You used the example of the beach, and there was one day last summer, I remember I took my children to the beach and they talk about, they had a great time at that beach and they'd like to go back to that beach because it was such great fun. I remember I was perished. I was freezing. The sand was blowing in my eyes and all I could think about was getting the sand out of their shoes when we got home. So, two people can have very different memories
absolutely.
Of a situation.
Absolutely. Like, I'm doing my memoirs at the moment, Claire, for my sins. And my goodness, the first thing it has really taught me is I can't trust my memories. Do you know what I mean? I think I know things that happen. But then when I start checking with other people and I begin to get a much fuller picture, I begin to realize, no, I don't. So our person recall, you know, why can't we trust our memories? So there's all kinds of different reasons. But one of them is that our person recall can be kind of faulty. Firstly, each person, a bit like grief, each person loses a different parent or a different sibling. Our memories are very similar. Each person will have a different memory of that event. So, for example, suppose you're all sitting around and somebody's dying. Do you know what I mean? And there's a palliative care nurse in there. And each of you are totally affected in a different kind of way. So your contextual memory of that particular moment, if you all got together, you'd realise, you might say, well, the nurse said that. God, I didn't remember that. Or my mother did this and I don't recall that at all. Do you know what I mean? So in other words, all those things will be affected by context.
Why is that?
I think the second part is the key to this, that our emotions have a huge role in our ability to remember. So emotionally, I might recall something the nurse said. Do you know what I mean? Whereas maybe another person might recall what my mum said, you know, or what my mum did. So my emotions have a huge role. Anne-Marie gave a lovely example there down on the beach, and you gave one yourself. But suppose I absolutely hate the sand, hate the beach, don't want Anton to do it. I have no memory of any of that nice thing. But what I really was disgusted about was those banana sandwiches from the old fashioned biscuit tin. And I can recall them myself and my mother pulling out these soggy sandwiches from the tin. And, you know, that might be your memory. And, you know, so your perceptions of that particular day might be totally different.
Harry, you've actually brought back nightmares for me there, because I've forgotten banana sandwiches. Sandwiches existed, so my children mightn't thank you for this idea. But I think, as well as the emotion piece around why your memories might differ from somebody else who's had that same experience, we're also linking the information that we're taking in to what we already know. So if we have a particular knowledge or belief about the experience, the new information we take in is going to be integrated with that. So it might look a little different. So if in the example you said around palliative care, if this was something somebody really wanted for their family member, they might have a more positive memory of their loss at that point than somebody who really didn't want this, or who had a different belief about how it might look like. So I think the emotions piece is important, but also the information you're taking in is linked to what you already know as well.
But does all of this tell us, Anne-Marie, that we can't trust our memories then?
So I'd have a different take to Harry, because I'm really worried about the idea that we can't trust them. I think we can trust them, but they're not perfect, right? So we should trust them, we should rely on them, but we should also be aware that they're not perfect. They're not photographic memories for most of us. So there's no harm in checking in on little details. I think really it's that people form different memories of the same experience. So it's not that yours is definitely wrong, it's just different most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that,
Harry? I think what I'm very, very interested in this, I've been very interested in this now really because of depression and things like that. But every time that we pull our memory out, let's suppose we take the beach and I'm chatting to my and they start talking about the fact it was flogging rain on the day that I was celebrating. Yeah. when that memory is put back, as it is that evening, back into its box and it's dissipated all right, the next time I pull out that memory, I will have a slightly different memory. I will now recall that it was actually raining on the day. Do you know? And so if I keep putting it in and out and in and out, all the evidence now shows that the more often I pull a memory out and the more often I kind of maybe check it with other people, the more the memory subtly changes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I would have this view that memory is kind of a dynamic. It's not quite as fixed, you know what I mean? I recall bang
because
that.
If my memory of an event is negative, then I speak to somebody else who shared that event with me and their recollection is positive. Does that change my perception of what happened?
It might slightly alter it. What do you think, Anne-Marie?
Yeah, so it would alter it. Probably, yeah. So if you think, imagine you went to a concert, right? And your friend said this band was going to be excellent, but you didn't really enjoy it. But when you take the memory of the concert out to your friend, you probably play down how terrible it was, right? Because they're expecting a good news story. And that might change actually your perception later. So you can't keep taking a memory out of the box and recounting it in different ways and and expecting it to stay the same. It will shift a bit. I think where I'd have a different perspective is I think you can still rely on it, broadly speaking. It just won't look the same.
Mm-hmm. And as we age, then our memory changes. Yeah. Is that right?
I'm really interested in this as well, that apparently from the age of around 50 onwards, you know, so we might move into the second part of our lives, something very subtle happens. We start to look at things more optimistically. And actually, our memories start to develop a more rosy hue.
The halo effect.
The halo effect. So what actually starts to happen is I begin to almost downplay the negative sides that I remember about this memory, and I'll upplay the more positive sides. So very subtly, that memory has been altered. And the second thing that happens when we age is that, oh my God, do I know this at the moment, because I'm in the process of going right back. It's a bit like, have you ever been in a solicitor's office and all you see are piles and piles and piles and piles of files, and you wonder how in God's name if they had to get to the very bottom one, do you know what I mean, would he ever reach it? And in certain ways, our memories are a little bit like that, because the brain is a kind of a storage organ. That's its basic function. Mm-hmm. And the more stuff you stuff into the brain, the harder it is to retrieve it. And that's why, and I have discovered this myself.
Right, so there is a limit to
it.
Because Anne-Marie, I have one particular friend, and if I need to remember when something happened in my life, like what date it was, I'll go to her because she's likely to remember it quicker than I will. Are some people just very, very good at retaining facts, dates?
Yeah, some people would have different strengths around memory, and they might also use different techniques to help them remember. So I think I used to be better. I think of too many other things to remember now to be remembering some of the facts that I would have before. But certainly people differ in this. And what's also interesting is that we differ in our expectations of others' memory. So it's not just about what we encode into our memory and what we retrieve to share with somebody. As couples, as families, as groups, we actually have expectations about whose job it is or whose role it is to remember different things. So if you were on a night out and left early, you'd know which friend, as you said there, that you might call up who could tell you how the rest of the night went. And you also know which friend you wouldn't call because they'd be too busy having the crack and would have nothing to report back to you at all, right? And this is also why children will say things like, "Mammy, where are my football boots?" Because in the collective of the family, the children have a notion, right, I don't need to remember that. My mum will remember, all mm-hmm. right? So we do rely on other people. And when we rely on other people, we might make a little less effort in terms of encoding the information ourselves.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And it plays into the different roles of people in the house. Like we've one child at home whose job it is to remember everything.
Yeah.
The poor girl. But she just has a knack for knowing where things are.
Poor girl.
But we all have different skills and our memory things. But as life goes on, I think these contextual memories become more and more important. They really do.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned earlier the role of all of this in depression and treatment for depression. So what is that?
One of the problems that there's two areas that I really pick out for memory that kind of concern me a little bit. The first one is in depression, because when we're very down, we pour out cortisol. It's one of the consequences of this physical illness, by the way. Listen to me, everybody out there. Depression is a physical illness. It's not just a psychological illness. But we pile out cortisol, which gives us our diabetes and our heart disease, all these things associated with depression. But one of the things it does, it flattens the hippocampus. The hippocampus actually shrinks when we're very depressed.
So your ability to recall.
So our ability to recall all these contextual memories can be really, really damaged, you know. And similarly in abuse, do you know what I mean? If I'm going through a sexual abuse thing, I will often have no memory of the person or what happened, but I'll have all the emotional memory
associated with it. All right, listen, thank you to you both. Fascinating as always, and great to talk to Harry Barry and Anne-Marie Craven. We will take a quick break back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.